So, Chris, we are talking about your exhibition in Venice, Within Reach. When I heard that you'd been selected for the 50th anniversary of the Venice Biennale, I'd quite recently seen your exhibition at Victoria Miro Gallery called Freedom One Day. I immediately thought, would you approach the pavilion in a similar sort of way? Would you, in other words, make it into a kind of an environment or an installation, or would you exhibit your paintings on the white surfaces? Mm. You obviously decided not to do that and to make what I can only describe as a very elaborate and complex environment. And the sense I got walking into that pavilion was that I was actually walking in to one of your paintings. Your paintings and the environment almost merged together. What made you decide to go down that road rather than just to put those paintings on the white walls of the pavilion?
I mean, I could start a long way back and talk about really how I think about making paintings. You start with a kind of minuscule, tiny idea of trying to realise something, and it grows and it grows and it grows and it becomes something that you might call a painting. In a way, my feelings and thoughts were just to try and extend the idea of the painting into the environment that it's shown in. Now, I'd kind of decided for a period of time that I was going to create a kind of family of paintings that could be shown together, and decided that I wanted to try to depict the Last Supper. I started to think about the parallels between a room and a gallery and a chapel and basically atmosphere and intimacy. And so it just seemed like a natural thing to try to create a room for paintings to be shown in, where the viewer could feel that they were part of the whole event in a way. It didn't feel like a drastic move or anything elaborate or unusual. It just seemed like a natural progression. I was happy with it. And so when I was asked to take on the pavilion, I suppose I've initially just had to exhale because it was very close. I mean, basically the exhibition at Victoria Miro's was still on. And I was offered the chance to take on the pavilion. It initially felt like, well, this is a real shame because the timing's wrong. I've just done an exhibition and now I'm looking forward to not doing an exhibition. I gave it some thought and thought that maybe it's better to strike while the iron's hot in terms of my flow. And I still had some ideas that I wanted to continue, namely the Red, Black and Green series, which charts the love affair of a couple. And that had already begun in the Freedom One Day exhibition. It felt natural just to continue that. The pavilion in Venice is kind of like a one-off experience. I felt it was important for me to try to do something that would be a challenge, i.e. making all new work, and was going further and further into the unknown, i.e. trying to work with an environment for the paintings and trying to not separate the room and the walls from the paintings, so that when the viewer walked into the pavilion, the experience of looking at the work began there. So it was an attempt at making like a total environment, a total experience of what the paintings were about, so that when the viewer looked at the paintings and the things that were going on in the paintings and the world of the couple in the paintings, they felt as though they were in them as well by being in a room that reflected that. Mm. It's a story, really, and it began quite linear. They met and they spent some time together and they were kind of lovers. And now it's become more disjointed. I kind of can't really chart a definite path in the story.
When you say a story or a narrative, was it one that you'd written or conceived of and then you illustrated it with images, or did it develop as you made the images?
It's something that's going on, and it's a picture story rather than a written story or story that I can really speak of. It's one that just comes from drawing lines on pieces of paper and then the story moves on. There's one particular one that took me by surprise that's in the exhibition in Venice. It's one called Afro Apparition. And it's one where the couple are at the lower part of the painting And they're on a journey. They're just kind of walking through a kind of paradise type setting, holding hands. And they stop and they look up and they see in the clouds, sometimes you get these dramatic cloud formations. And suddenly the cloud forms like the image of themselves kissing, just for like a split second, like an apparition. And then it would, in time it will disappear and just be a cloud again. It's, you know, sometimes you see things in clouds, and I was surprised that I was able to capture that feeling in the picture. And I think that was one of the successes for me of taking on Venice, in that I could decide I was going to make new work and try to push things through that normally I would have chewed over for quite a long period of time.
I mean, looking at the pavilion, you really made quite a radical intervention there with bright green walls, with red walls, with lights, with the ceiling of coloured suspended glass that completely transformed it. I mean, I didn't recognise it when I went into it.
I think that was quite important, really, that when you came into the space, you were entering into a fantasy world. And paintings are, for me, a fantasy world, or kind of suspended reality, a little bit like going to the cinema or something. You look into that world and you fall into that world, especially with larger paintings. For me, the feeling is that if you could walk into that pavilion, you shouldn't really have to deal with all the other history of all the other biennales that have been before and all the other artists that have put their work on the walls. It's not to negate them, but it's just to give it a fresh start.
That was something that also interested me, the whole weight of history to do with an English imperial past as well, having this pavilion on the hill looking down over everyone else.
The tricky thing is that, you know, when you... I mean, other artists may speak differently of their experience, but in negotiating, dealing with the pavilion, you're told a lot about what has happened in the past and how things are normally done. And it's a bit difficult as an artist if you're having to always be told to get back into line. For me, I just wanted to take on the pavilion and to speak of what I am. And that's all of what I am, rather than, oh, well, I'll just show a bit of me and I'll put it up in the same way that all the other artists have done, for whatever reason that is. It required a lot of effort and a lot of help from many of the people that put the thing together and my working relationship with David.
I was going to ask you about your collaboration with David Adjaye.
Well, we were at college together, at the Royal College. He was in the architecture department, I was in the painting. We've known each other for quite some time now, 10 years. It's a little bit like, you know, sit down and imagine things and try to picture things and make notes about my ideas for spaces and rooms. And David's very skilled in that. He's trained in that. And so if I explain something to him, he will have a much quicker understanding of what it is that I'm trying to explain. We just talk and work things out. Sounds kind of oversimplified, but in a way, it has to be that way, because it's about a friendship, working relationship. So there are a lot of things that are unsaid that become formalised in an exhibition.
Had you planned all the colour and the surfaces and the glass roof well in advance?
I tend to play those things down in discussion and interviews, but it was very clearly planned out, because doing anything in Venice requires a lot of planning. They don't have many raw materials, so you have to bring everything over with you. Plus, there isn't a lot of time to make mistakes, which is very much part of my process in making paintings. Mistakes become intentions and opportunities to improvise and to learn, whereas the construction of an environment requires forward planning and precision, particularly in the case of the ceiling. I'll take you back a little bit. The first thing I did when I was offered the chance for the pavilion was that I went to Venice just to have a look at Venice and to look at the pavilion with nothing in it. And I was instantly struck by all the skylights in each room. All the rooms are top lit. But I immediately knew that I didn't want to work with that space. There's too much weight of history there. It wasn't a blank canvas. Yeah, we made all our changes, painted the walls, and it just seemed like a perfect container for the paintings that I was making in the studio, which I didn't see in the space until I'd brought them there. every single piece, everything that you saw in there was made for the Biennale. So it was quite an intense year of long hours and a lot of thinking, painting.
One of the interventions you made at the pavilion were two flags either side of the entrance.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about those.
Yeah, there were two on the flagpoles, and then there was a third one on the flagpole which sits on the top of the building. And it's called the Union Black. It's a flag, really, to describe what I am and what a lot of people like me are, which is of African heritage, but born and raised in Britain. You know, growing up in the 70s and 80s with kind of right-wing racist groups, the Union Jack was used as a kind of representation of white power and a kind of anti-anything that isn't white in Britain. Red, black and green, it's a colour scheme that was put together by Marcus Garvey in the 20s. The red represented the blood of Africans that was spilled over Greenland, and the black represented the skin. So the Union Black was basically a synthesis of the Union Jack flag and the red, black and green colour scheme. In a way, it was a kind of signifier of what the pavilion was for me and a hint at the paintings and subject matter that was going on inside. In a way, I think sometimes some of the most complex and difficult subjects to speak of are easier to take on when they're put forward in a way or packaged in a way that's attractive. That's part of how I'm doing things. I'm kind of drawing people in right up to the surface of things to allow them to then take on some of the issues that may be being offloaded within the grander scheme of the paintings. That's the plan anyway.